We'll be looking at a short parable, one of the parables of the kingdom in Mark's gospel. The unique feature about this parable is it's the only parable that is unique to Mark. In other words, all the other parables that are found in Mark are also found either in Matthew or in Luke. But there's one parable in Mark which is nowhere else. Now, that doesn't make it more important. Usually, a parable you'd say is more important if it is in all the Gospels. But Jesus, at least on one occasion, told the parable. And he had a purpose. He had a reason for sharing that parable with the people and, of course, with us. And I happen to have a purpose in selecting this parable and in sharing it today. So may the Lord richly bless it to us. May he speak to us through it. And not only us, but also others who might listen to this message. May the Lord bless it. Like the other kingdom parables, it is about the kingdom. It illustrates something of how God reigns and what happens in his kingdom. And all parables illustrate a truth. There's some spiritual truth when the parable illustrates it. But in many of the parables that we find in the Gospels, you don't see the truth and then the illustration of the truth. The parable is the truth and the illustration of it. So we're going to read it twice so that we can catch the truth and the illustration of the truth. And it's a very short one. After reading it, we're going to ask 4 questions of this parable. Because when you just read, you don't learn as much. When you ask a question and answer the question, you tend to learn more. That's why catechisms are like that. And we'll be doing it that way. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. Mark 4 verse 26. And when it says, he said, this is Jesus speaking, telling the parable. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. When it speaks there about the ear, it's not talking about the human ear, it's talking about that part of the plant that has the seed. Just like the maize cob has got the cob, and a peas are in a pod. Well, wheat has got an ear, and that's got all the seed in it. And I wonder who has seen a sickle before. You might have seen a picture. Who's seen a real sickle? Okay, some have seen one. It's gone out of fashion, the sickle. But a sickle has got a handle, and it's got a curved blade. And so one grabs the wheat, and while you're holding it, pulling it, you cut with a sickle, and then you put it on the cart or on the pile where you're putting your harvest. So a sickle. Let's read it one more time. from verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So we'll look at the four questions. The first one, quite simply, what does the man do? In this parable, what does the man do? We actually find that what the man does is not as important as other things in the parable, but we must see what the man does. And the answer there in verse 26, he scatters seed. That's not very strange. In many of the parables, you've got a man scattering seed, especially the parable of the sower. He scatters seed. He's got some seed. He's not planting it one. He's scattering the seed. And, well, other parables speak about this, and this passage doesn't really tell anything else that the man does until the end of the parable again. Now, he probably does more than scatter seed. If you are a gardener, or if you are a farmer, or if you have worked in a farm or in a garden, you will know the many things that the person who's interested in seeing a crop, what he does. There will be digging the soil, they'll be adding compost or adding manure or fertilizer. They will be pulling out the weeds. It's a great job. All these kind of things, cleaning around it and maybe destroying the pests or even spraying something to kill the pests. So there will be other things, but all it says here is he scatters seed. And it's important. We'll come back to this. He scatters the seed. If he didn't do that, nothing else would happen, isn't it? That sickle would stay on the shelf. It would be hanging in the garage, on a hook, and it would not be used. But he scatters seed. Another thing it says is, he sleeps and rises. The New King James puts it slightly differently. He sleeps by night and rises by day. I think that's the basic idea. He's not doing anything to the seed. He scattered the seed and now he's sleeping and rising and sleeping and rising day by day. I think the main idea here is simply that he's doing nothing. It says he sleeps and rises, but what it's actually saying is he's doing nothing. He's doing nothing for the seed. The farmer is not fiddling with the seed and doing something with the seed. He's sleeping and rising and sleeping and rising. He's not doing anything to the seed. And in fact, when the seed is underground, he's not even disturbing it. He's just leaving it by itself. That's all he does. He might even get discouraged when he doesn't see anything. And the third thing he does, this is after he's seen a lot of things happening, the third thing he does is he puts in the sickle. Verse 29. He puts in the sickle. That's just cutting it so that he can put the wheat on the cart or in whatever he's in the pile that he's got his harvest. And the harvest, I think we can say with confidence what that is, because there are many parables and the harvest always has got the same meaning. Maybe you've noticed that. As you read through the parables, the harvest, it's always pointing to the end of the age. It's always talking about when the God's children are brought together, are gathered, and there's a judgment, that there's a harvest at the end. Let's ask our second question though. We looked at what the man does. And we don't know more about the man except what he does. It doesn't give him a name. It just says the man. What does the seed do? What does the seed do? Many of the kingdom parables have got seed. In the parable of the sower, there's seed. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, there's seed. And here there's seed. What does the seed do? Now, when we talk about the seed, we must talk about the seed plant. Because the seed doesn't produce the ear. It's the seed plant. Have both those concepts in your mind. What is this? What does it do? It sprouts, verse 27. While the man is sleeping and rising, the seed sprouts and grows. It sprouts. And this happens out of sight. The sprouting, the idea there is that which seemed to be dead is now sprung to life. That seed which looked as if it's not going to do anything, you can maybe just put it in your mouth and chew it. That seed which seems to be almost useless sprouts. Get some water and it sprouts and it comes to life. Spiritually, there's also some sprouting going on. Hopefully there's some sprouting going on in these days as well. Sprouting is when there's new life. There's regeneration. There's the beginning of a new kind of life. And the pastor can't make it happen, but he is involved. The farmer doesn't make it happen, but if he didn't scatter the seed, it wouldn't be springing to life. He can't see what's happening under the ground because it's actually sprouting under the ground. And you see the little greens sticking through the ground. Spiritually, I can't see what is happening in your heart. And you can't see what is happening in your neighbor's heart. Maybe you're sharing the gospel with somebody. You can't see what's happening in the heart. You might even see some tears come out or some response or anger, but you can't see what's really happening in the heart. A second thing that happens here that the seed does is it grows. It grows. So it doesn't just sprout, but it grows. You've seen plants grow. It's exciting. It's good. About just a bit over a kilometer from where I live, there's a maize field. Maybe 6 to 8 hectares of maize. And when early in January, those plants were very small. And now they're big. They're right up there, looking green, looking good. It's responding to the rain, and it's almost ready for the ears to form. It looks good. It's growing. It's nice watching the growth. We've got a tree that we planted last year, and when we planted it, it was about that big, and now it's can't reach it. It's grown. It's getting bigger. It's lovely seeing plants grow. Maybe you planted something and watched it grow. It's exciting seeing children growing. Especially when I haven't got all that much. I haven't got much experience about them growing in my home. But so many of you will. And to see some, every time we visit and we see the children, they're so much bigger. It's exciting. Yeah. Crawling and talking and writing their own name, and gradually they developing and growing, and it's exciting. Spiritually, it's also exciting. I hope that That vision, that idea of seeing people growing spiritually is something which grabs you. It must. We must be excited about growth in God's kingdom. And so there is Christian growth. Plants grow, children grow, Christians grow. Non-Christians don't grow, they still need to sprout. They still need to get life. But when they've got life, they can grow. And do you see Christians around you growing? Are you growing? I hope you're still growing. I hope that where you were last year was maybe there, and now you've gone a bit further. You've not only learned a few things academically, but you've grown in character. You've grown in your love for the Lord. You've grown in your understanding of His ways. You've grown in your vision. You've grown in your being more like Jesus Christ. You've grown in your skills that are needed in the church. I hope there's been growth. Thirdly, He produces grain, or this seed produces grain. We're asking the question, what does the seed do? The seed plant, what does it do? It produces grain in verse 28. It says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And that's there's a bit of a focus there. It produces grain, it produces fruit. When those maize plants get just a bit bigger, they're going to produce the ear, which is the fruit, and the fruit is going to get ripe. And of course, plants are like that, and people can also produce fruit. Fruit of character and things of the life, but also fruit of other people that are being influenced. So at first, the person becomes a Christian and there's life, and later on, God willing, there's a special kind of fruit where other people are influenced. Other people turn to the Lord, and there's that kind of, that person who only recently received life is now a blessing to the church and a blessing to the world. That's what we're looking for. There's a third question. What does God do? We asked, what does the man do? Then we asked the question, what does the seed do? Well, we're looking at the third question, what does God do? If you listened carefully, you only heard the name God once in this parable. It said, the kingdom of God. It doesn't say anything about what God does. But every parable is about God. The whole Bible is about God. And if it says this is about the kingdom of God, who is the king? God. So He must be doing something in the parable. We just have to see what He's doing. We need to discern that. We need to think. And there are two words that I want to highlight that actually bring out something of what, just the fact that God is doing something here. The first word is the word how in verse 27. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. In other words, something is happening, and this farmer, gardener, does not know how it's happening, but he recognizes something is happening which he is not causing. He's not making it happen, but it's happening, and he does not know how. So we look at that word how, and we say, there's something more here. And it's God. God is doing something. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. So God is doing something there which the man is not doing. And that word how just gives us that clue. The Holy Spirit is often the one that we refer to in the Godhead, who's the active agent applying what God planned and what Jesus perfected, or what put into applied. No, the Holy Spirit applies. Let's just leave it like that. He's the one at ground level working in the life, working in the heart. If the Bible speaks about that sprouting, it talks about being born again, John 3. Who's doing that? Born by the Spirit, born of the Spirit. The Spirit is doing that, bringing about sanctification as well, making us more holy, making us more like Christ. The Holy Spirit is working there. That's also part of the how. Producing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. God working, producing fruit. The other word is two words in the English. By itself in verse 28. It says there, the earth produces by itself. And the Greek word for that is an interesting one. We're not getting too academic in this parable, but everybody will recognize the word. Automate. Automate. I'm sure you can see where the name automatic comes from. By itself. You press a button and it starts by itself. Something is automatic. Something is happening by itself. You turn the ignition. And by itself, the car starts vibrating and moving and going forward. Now, of course, we know that it's not really by itself. Here it says the earth produces by itself. We know that the earth doesn't really produce by itself. The earth can't do anything by itself. We can't believe those stories about Mother Nature evolving itself and whatever. There's a God. And God is doing these things. Just the fact that it says here by itself tells us, no, God is at work. When I turn that ignition, what's really happening? Well, I'm closing a circuit. And the circuit causes the electricity to run, and there's a battery connected to that circuit, and there's something to strengthen the power, and the power goes to the spark plug, and there's an arc across that, and it ignites the fumes that come from the petrol, and it drives a piston, and it drives the crank, and the car goes. But there's something under the bonnet that's making this all happen. God is causing these things to happen. We, in the spiritual area, we mustn't think that I'm causing it all to happen. By preaching, I'm causing people to receive life. No, I'm not. And by praying, I'm causing the results. No, I'm not. I'm part of it all by God's grace. But God is causing things to wonderfully happen. So we mustn't get too anxious about the results. We must do our part, and we must remember what God is doing. A fourth question. We asked, what does the man do? We asked, what does the seed do? We asked, what does God do? Well, the fourth question is quite a simple one. What is the point? We must always ask that when we look at a parable. What is the point? What is the big idea? What stands out in this short, simple parable? And there are a few things which we can point out. Maybe something is in your mind already of the big idea. What really stands out as being different in this short parable, which is unique to Mark? I think one thing is that our task, or the task of sowing the seed, is a simple one. I think the parable brings that out. The task of sowing the truth, because that's what the seed is, if we interpret the parable, the task of sowing the truth is a very simple one. It doesn't say this man was highly qualified. That doesn't seem to be the point. He wasn't skilled at making life. He scattered the seed. It's a very simple one. I find it interesting when we read in Acts, the beginning of Acts, the early church and how the church grew. We find in chapter 7 it speaks about the martyrdom of Stephen. And then chapter 8 starts and it says a very serious persecution broke out. And it says they were all scattered and they went away preaching. And you're thinking, yes, the apostles are doing it. And then it says, except the apostles. So the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the other Christians went everywhere spreading, sowing the seed. It is the common people. The early Christians did it, and people do it today. I'd like to maybe share, everybody enjoys listening to stories, so we can give some illustrations. Philip was a man in Mozambique, and some evangelists from Chokwe shared the gospel with Philip. And he was a Zionist pastor, one of these Zionist syncretistic church groups. He was a pastor in that group, but he wasn't truly saved. And as he heard the gospel, something happened. In other words, the seed was sown, was scattered, and something happened in his heart. God was working, and he believed, he repented, he changed, he became a true Christian, and he became excited about the truth that he now discovered. He started reading his Bible in a new way, seeing things which he hadn't discovered before. Previously, he hadn't been reading the Bible much. Philip was a true Christian. And now he started producing fruit. He started sharing the gospel with other people. Unfortunately, he didn't live very much longer. He was very sick, and the time came where he realized he's not going to last much longer. And he called his fellow Zionist pastors from the area. He said, please come. And they all came out of respect for this man who's dying. And he greeted them and was friendly and all that. And then he said, in the less than a year ago, I became a true Christian. And he started sharing with them. He says, I want to tell you what has happened in my life and about the truth concerning Jesus Christ. And he shared with them. What was he doing? Scattering the seeds. Another man, Titus, he had a club foot. I don't know if you've seen people like that, with a bit crippled. He couldn't walk. He could just shuffle along because he couldn't put any weight on his foot. It was a club foot. But he could cycle. There was nothing wrong with him. He was quite fit. He could even cycle along those deep sandy roads in Mozambique. And he could do that. And one day he was listening to the radio, Transworld Radio, and he heard the gospel message. And he responded to that message. That message was scattered far in the villages of Mozambique. And this man, Titus, he heard the gospel and he responded to it. In fact, he phoned the evangelists who had given the, put the radio, the message on the radio. And they communicated with him, and eventually they went to his area and they met him. And they gave him one of these little slinger tape recorders. You who are a bit younger, I don't think you've even seen it, a recorder or a cassette. That's old fashioned. But they also gave him some cassettes with Bible messages. And he put those Bible messages in this player, got on his bicycle, went along those sandy roads, paths. He would stop at a village, get to the marketplace, and there he would go with his little recorder playing the messages, sowing the seed. He wasn't a good speaker, but he sowed the word. And it's exciting to hear about these things. And I'm mentioning this because the parable here is inspiring us to be part of this project. What he's saying here is that it's quite simple. It's not a very complicated business. You who are not, who have not got a BTH, you who just say, well, I'm just a Christian. Perfect. Go out and do what Philip did and go out and do what Titus did. The second thing we see is we must trust God to do what God does. In this parable we see we must trust God. Just reading it, you can see this man sleeps and rises, sleeps and rises. He's not doing anything else. I think that just tells us very clearly. Do your spiritual work, do your part, and trust God to do the thing which you can't do. I think that drives me, that inspires me to pray more. Just knowing that God is doing it tells me my prayer work is in a very important part of my work. Yes, scatter the seed. Pray. Simple things. Any Christian can do it. We must. A third point of this parable, and that comes out in this harvest, is that we must also rejoice in spiritual fruit. We must rejoice in spiritual fruit. Hardly anything happens in this parable. It's just a short parable. There's growth, and then he puts in the sickle. The harvest has come. There is joy because he can see the fruit. And we need to have that kind of joy when people are converted. That kind of joy when people grow spiritually. That kind of joy when we see fruit in the world. Okay, just a few final considerations. Consider. We want to take something with us when we go home. Something with us from this message. Who has sowed the seed in your life? If you think back, was there somebody that sowed the seed in your life? Was there somebody that shared the word so that you heard it? Just thinking about that is helpful. It helps us to grab that vision. You say, well, look what I am today. Thank the Lord for that one. Secondly, consider what happened to that seed that was sown in your life. When that seed landed on your ear and landed in your heart, what happened? What happened to that seed? Did the birds come and pick it up? Did it produce life? Praise God for that. It can happen to your neighbor as well. A third consideration, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, just consider the importance of you scattering seed. You are in contact with people that others are not in contact with. You've got friends and people moving around in your area that you see, that you are close to, that maybe your pastor is not close to, or somebody else is not close to. Scatter the seed. It's important. If that man didn't scatter the seed, there would not have been a harvest. If those evangelists hadn't, from Chokwe, hadn't shared the word, scattered the seed, Philip would have died without Christ. Titus would not have gone to those villages with his bicycle and his messages. And if somebody hadn't scattered the seed for you, you would not be here today. Consider what truths you should scatter. Consider whom you should tell. Make sure that you are part of this vision that Jesus had, which he shares with us in this parable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for even this parable, this short parable in just these four verses. And please, by your Holy Spirit, would you plant or strengthen this vision in our own hearts. That, Lord, all of those who have been born again, all of those who are truly Christian, would grow and would also scatter seed and would pray and would be part of your wonderful work. And thank you, Lord, that you do the work. We pray that you would also continue to do such wonderful work in these days, also around where we are. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.